Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on what's trending. We had an ugly Monday Night Football game last night. The San Francisco 49ers beat the Panthers 20-9, despite the fact that Brock Purdy threw three picks in the game, one of which was in the end zone. But Bryce Young somehow played worse. He threw two picks of his own, only threw for 169 yards. Rico Dowdle averaged 6 yards a carry in this football game, Drew, and despite that, only got six carries.
What are we doing? Nothing good. For some reason, like, the running backs are just getting ignored. Jonathan Taylor, ignored. Rico Dowdle, ignored. All right.
Yeah, Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle combined 9 carries for 54 yards. Almost 6 yards. That is six yards a carry.
Yeah.
And they just wouldn't hand him the football, but Bryce Young threw it 29 times.
I like Bryce Young, but yeah, they didn't do him any favors. Dave Canales did. Number two on what's trending, KU gets a win over Notre Dame yesterday, 71-61. No Darren Peterson, of course. Trying to get him back healthy for maybe the UConn game, and then we'll see how things continue to go. But obviously, you're trying to manage the injury, the hamstring, to make sure that it doesn't get extended to where it's a higher grade strain, go into conference play. Obviously, that's the last thing you want. So making sure that he's fully ready to go is what's best, not just for himself, but also for the Kansas Jayhawks.
Two things that I walked away from that Kansas game last night with the thought in mind. Number one, Flory Badunga is in the midst of his true breakout right now. I mean, 18-9 last night with 5 assists, 5 blocks.
Is he more PT?
In the game, 34 minutes. If he can stay out of foul trouble, he is going to be a nightmare for opposing teams because he's so efficient down low. And defensively, despite only being 6'9", he's a tremendous rim protector, and he's a great low post defender as well. The second thing I walked away from is that I think this Kansas team, if they get Darren Peterson back, they have 3 legitimate guys that could get you 15 to 20 a night. I think Trey White is that number three. I think he is a tremendous player, a very willing and capable rebounder at 6'7". You know, he's a taller guard, but he rebounds extremely well for his size. I love the way that that trio of guys, Badunga, Peterson, and Trey White looks like, if you can get Bryson Tiller to become a consistent shooter, which as of now he is not, he was 0 for 5 from 3 last night.
Yep.
You've got something cooking there at the University of Kansas.
By the way, KU plays Kyan Anthony in the Syracuse Orange at 2:30 on TNT. Later on tonight right here, you can listen to K-State as they take on the 25th-ranked Indiana Hoosiers. That game also, if you want to watch it on TV as well. But right here on 96.5 The Fan as well, if you want to listen and tune on in.
Number three on our What's Trending, the Hall of Fame class for pro football in 2026 has revealed its semi-finalists. Among the most notable, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, Larry Fitzgerald, Jason Witten, and Frank Gore. 26 modern era candidates who advanced to this stage includes a good chunk of guys. Willie Anderson, of course, Torrey Holt, Luke Kuechly, Adam Vinatieri. Those guys put themselves in because of the voting last year. They were automatic entries into the semifinal spot. Eli Manning, Fred Taylor, Steve Smith Sr., Reggie Wayne, Jari Evans, Marshall Yanda, Terrell Suggs, and Darren Woodson. Of those guys on the list, which are the ones that you legitimately look at as Hall of Famers?
Willie Anderson.
Bengals fandom aside for a minute.
Not just because he's a Cincinnati Bengal, but he basically reinvented the he was transformative in how the tackle positions played. He was a dog, and I think belongs in the Hall of Fame. I would say out of the guys that were finalists that make it in this time around, I think Eli makes it.
No.
I think Eli makes it. I think Willie Anderson makes it. And I think Torrey Holt has been due for a long time. I think Torrey Holt finally gets into the Hall of Fame.
I'm with you. I'm in agreement with you when it comes to Willie Anderson, not when it comes to Eli Manning. The only quarterback that's in this semifinalist class that should get into the Hall at all is Drew Brees. I'm sorry.
Oh, period.
Enough.
Period. Okay.
Enough with the Eli Manning stuff. Yeah, he won two Super Bowls. The guy barely threw more touchdowns than interceptions in his career in the 21st century. Like, okay, when you look at Terry Bradshaw having those numbers, that's one thing, but goodness. Larry Fitzgerald, Torrey Holt, I think both those guys should get in.
I love me some Reggie Wayne, too. It'd be cool to see Reggie get in.
Maybe not this go around, but eventually. Kuechly, give me that man as well.
I agree. I think Kuechly would be in. And the last thing I watch trending, Cardinals trade Sonny Gray to the Red Sox for two prospects. So yeah. Trades are getting a going.
Yeah, Brandon Clark and Richard Fitz, a couple of prospects from Boston being shipped to St. Louis. Boston is also going to get $20 million from the Cardinals to help cover his salary.
All right.
So what did you get out of this, St. Louis? I mean, he was arguably your best pitcher last year. He was your most consistent pitcher last year. This obviously hurts the Royals people who were talking about trading Chris Bubich for Jaren Duran a little bit. Now, maybe the Red Sox need more pitching help than that. Yeah. But, you know, this certainly does put a bit of a hitch in your giddy up if you're trying to get that trending.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into this conversation I want to have regarding the signing of Damian Pierce and what his production could look like in Kansas City, with it being a short week, the Thursday game, today we had a chance to hear from Andy Reid in the lead up to today's practice. He spoke with the media about 20 or 25 minutes ago. So let's take a listen in to what Andy had to tell us getting ready for the Cowboys this Thursday.
The guys who won't practice today are Noah and Trey. And we'll just see how they progress here in the next day or so. Look forward to the challenge of playing Dallas. It's a great honor to play on Thanksgiving Day. Have an opportunity again to play the Cowboys. So Brian's done a nice job there. They had a very productive game against Philadelphia. He's got good coordinators, coaches, and good players. So our guys started the week yesterday with walk through there and jog through, whatever you want to call it, learning the plays, and we'll move on to today. So look forward to, again, going down there. With that, time's yours.
Coach, you listed Chanel, Rice, and Worthy's limited estimated yesterday. Feeling good about their potential to play?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be all right. See how it all rolls.
What are your expectations for Isaiah Pacheco for this week?
Well, let's see how he does today, but then, you know, we'll get him in there and he'll play. Yeah. How much? I can't tell you that right now. We'll see how it goes.
Along the running back front, you did sign a running back to the practice squad, Damian Pierce. What are your expectations for him as he tries to learn the system?
Yeah, that's the main thing right now. Just get in and learn what we're doing, and then we'll take it from there. He's been productive, so, you know, good player. Brett's always doing a nice job of finding guys and adding them to the roster. And so we'll just see, kind of play by ear, see how it goes here.
With how much film work you do, I guess, how have you seen Quinnen Williams boost the defense for the Cowboys in the last two games?
Yeah, he's a great player, so he's done a nice job there. That front is, again, a good, respectable front, man. They bring it, and he's a big part of that.
Yeah. And you guys have kind of become a staple for you guys to be playing on Thanksgiving and Christmas now. And obviously, there's logistical points with that, but how do you just treat it as embracing it in terms of what it means for the franchise and sure. Getting these kind of games?
Yeah, it's an honor to be asked to play on those days. I mean, it means you're doing or have done halfway decent, right? So it's not a lot of games being played either one of those two days. So that's why I think that's the way you have to approach it. I can't tell you I'm great. I'm excited about short weeks, but I mean that's part of this thing. So the guys, we get them ready and they go play.
This is an important game for Patrick since he's never gotten to play Dallas as a professional before. How do you manage that in a game like this for him? Do you just let him run with the emotions, or do you try to keep him in check? Or?
Yeah, man, I think he'll be okay there. I mean, it's familiar territory, if nothing else, for him. He's played in there a few times, so he, and that's his old home team, right? But I think he'll be fine, yeah.
Andy, as much as films you would have watched on him in college, do you remember, able to separate him, do you remember any of those games that he played in that stadium, that first Baylor game in particular?
Yeah, I did watch it. Now, if you start asking me every play, I'm not going to be able to tell you, but I do remember seeing it. Yeah, I do. Yeah, Vecchio wore me out with all that stuff, so.
Andy, how well do you think Kareem Hunt held up with 30 carries on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, I'm proud of him, and he's upright, which is a positive thing. So he's doing good. It just shows you what he's put into it. I think at that age, at that position, those guys don't normally hang around very, very long and be productive like he was this past week. So he wanted more. So, I guess that's a good thing.
Coach, one of the things, the Cowboys came back from 21 down, impressive enough to come back and score those points, but their defense shut the Eagles out of that. What do they have working well for them right now on defense?
Yeah, well, it starts up front with them. The front brings it. You saw that the other night. So that's real. Eagles have a good offensive line. You know, it's a great challenge for our offensive line. And they're legit there, yeah.
Andy, are you aware that there's a trophy with this game?
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure I've ever seen the trophy, but I know they have a thing going.
Maybe not as prominent as a college rivalry trophy.
Yeah, but yeah, that's good for. It's all good. Yeah.
It's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good, says Andy Reid. Yeah, a couple of things that stand out there a little bit. Number one, you know, when asked about Kareem Hunt and the 30 carries that he had on Sunday and, you know, how's he looked this week? You know, he looks all right. Not exactly sure what that means, but, you know, he didn't come out and say, oh yeah, he's super banged up. He's walking around sore and hobbling. You know, we're not sure what kind of effectiveness he's going to have on Thursday, which there's obviously soreness. I mean, he got up slow after every single carry, after about the 13th carry, it seemed like.
He was giving literally everything, which I think is actually pretty commendable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because even though I saw Speck had tweeted this out that, you know, we should have a vast amount of appreciation for what Kareem Hunt did on Sunday. Like, it's something that you're given literally everything. And it might have only been like 3.5 yards a carry, 3 yards a carry, but you are getting up time and time again and continuing just to get hit and run the football and do what you got to do to win. A very commendable performance.
No question. And then, you know, the other thing of note, I guess you could say from that snippet from Andy was his conversation about Dallas and the Cowboys and not so much the offense, but what the defense did in the second half of that game to beat Philly last week, you know, coming back from down 21-0 and shutting out the Eagles defense in the second half, specifically Saquon Barkley. And
you know, he pointed out how difficult the front is, how much talent the front four of the Dallas Cowboys has, which obviously on paper, you're like, okay, yeah, they have Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark. They don't do an incredible job of getting to the quarterback necessarily. I mean, I think they only have 25 sacks as a team this year. You know, they're hobbling right around 10 sacks a game, or 2 sacks a game, I should say. Their leading rusher is James Houston with 4.5. So, you know, but the addition of Quinnen Williams has certainly made things more interesting. Their secondary is now healthier, so it allows for those guys to maybe pin their ears back and do a better job of getting to the quarterback. But I would say more importantly, they've done a really good job of limiting the run. I mean, what they did to Saquon in that game against Philly last week was nothing short of impressive, but kind of seems like that's what teams have done to the Eagles this year. Saquon Barkley has been ineffective for Philly.
So I brought up the stat yesterday. I think it was from Field Yates. Since adding Quinnen Williams, the Cowboys defense has allowed 30 carries for 90 yards and one carry for 10 plus, just one. It does feel like they've totally reinvented how they look from a defensive standpoint. Not that they can't rush the passer, but obviously that's what Micah Parsons did so well. The thing that Micah Parsons did not do particularly well was stop the run. Now they get Quinnen Williams, who effectively is good at both, but is obviously very good at stopping the run and just being a force in the middle with that offensive line, where now all of a sudden you don't have Trey Smith, and Kingsley has done well, but you know, it still, I think, is, he's not a question mark, but just from the standpoint of the interior of the offensive line, dealing with a guy like Quinnen Williams is going to be one of the interesting little mini storylines, if you will, of this game on Thursday.
And it would be one thing if it's just Quinnen Williams you're having to deal with in the interior, right? Because if it's Quinnen Williams, and apologize for using this comparison, but if you've got Quinnen Williams at one D tackle and you've got Derek Nnadi at the other, you know, you can justify Creed Humphrey double teaming Quinnen Williams on a play by play basis, make life a little bit easier on a Kingsley Suamataia or possibly Caliendo on Thursday against Dallas. But you got to look at, yeah, they've got Quinnen Williams, who might be the best interior defensive lineman in football, but they also have Kenny Clark, who is one of the best run-stopping D-tackles in football.
Which is why they're so good, I think, at stopping the run, because it's Quinnen Kenny Clark paired with
right
then Quinnen Williams.
Where you can't you can't double-team both guys, mm-hmm. So somebody's going to have to go one-on-one. So one of either Caliendo or Kingsley is going to have to go one-on-one on a pretty regular basis, while Creed has to try to, you know, chip here and try to come back and double or whatever. You know, there's going to be somebody one-on-one, and that probably opens things up a little bit better for guys like Azaruke or James Houston, or even, you know, the linebackers that they send on pressures every once in a while. It's going to be interesting to see.
I think that it, because if they can even get a if they just can't run, like we've seen the last few weeks, it'll be a problem. And to that person who texted in, when's the last time that we had to see Patches elevate? That'll be the time when you need to see Patrick Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes. If they cannot run the football, and it'll be interesting to see if what the decisions are in second and long, and if they're running the ball still on second and 10, which I think irritates the crap out of me. It's so annoying to see. But if you're looking at an offense that cannot run the football, it's just 2 yards a pop here or there, then you're going to have to see Patrick Mahomes make Patrick Mahomes plays and elevate that offense to another level, which is where I do think you see some of the secondary issues that we've seen. I know that they're like healthier, but Logan Wilson is a bit of a statue as a linebacker. He's a good leader, obviously, and is solid in the run, but he cannot change direction very well anymore. He's just slow now. And I think that that's an opportunity for Travis. That's an opportunity for, you know, whoever's matched up with Logan Wilson in terms of Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if he would eye a weakness and just single-handedly attack that weakness, but we see at times where there's a guy that is one of the weak points of a defense, and all of a sudden that is the guy that we are going to go after, and we are not going to stop because they cannot. He needs help. And until he gets help, that's a guy that we're going to attack. That'll be, I think, part of the chess match between Andy and Schottenheimer's offensive guy. I don't know who their DC is, but anyways, it really doesn't matter. Whoever the DC is.
Matt Eberflus.
Oh, there we go. It's gonna be that's going to be a bit of a chess match, I think, between Andy and Matt, just trying to figure out ways to get your players open, take advantage of other teams' weaknesses, and that's something that kind of evolves as the game goes on, because I'm sure that they'll try to establish some sort of the run game, because that's what's been so successful here that we've seen in the single-back formation. Then being able to run the ball effectively has helped them and put them in position to have the third and shorts where Mahomes can then take advantage with his legs and all the other cases where they're not stuck in third and eight, third and seven, or third and 10, heaven forbid, and having to either punt or just kick field goals or settle for those plays that they just haven't been able to make down the field so far.
And really, you know, the biggest impact I think the running game has for the Chiefs is that it really does make a team susceptible to the play action. Right. I mean, we've seen this Chiefs team prior to that game against the Colts where they would run those play actions and nobody's biting. You know, nobody's really selling in to stop the run and or selling out to stop the run. And you get beat over the top or you get beat on a crossing route 15 yards down the field in the intermediate. If you get the running game to a consistent level, it allows for Mahomes to make those play action rollout plays happen with more consistency. That would really, I think, open things up even more, especially in the intermediate part of the field, which that was the Chiefs' biggest impact in the second half of the game, was how good they were 10 to 20 yards downfield, which they had been one of the worst teams in the NFL at previous to that. I keep bringing up this conversation about the impact Damian Pierce can have for the Chiefs this year. There've been a couple people in the text line bringing it up. I assure you, we will discuss that next. Logan Weber in, filling in for both Cody and Alex here. Drew Nixon and producing, doing a great job as always here on Cody and Gold, 96.5 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. No Cody, no Alex here this morning. Both those guys off for the Thanksgiving holiday. Logan Weber in here with you alongside Drew Nixon. It'll be Drew and I tomorrow during the midday as well. I just saw a report from Adam Schefter that they're expecting Joe Burrow to play on Thursday.
Let's go. We back. Maybe.
Maybe. We shall see. Yeah. Schefter, I just, Pat McAfee show is playing up on the screen right now, so I just saw that pop up.
No, he should. We had a debate on the station group chat. Are you in that group chat or not?
Uh-uh.
Oh, we need to add you
in. Not yet
there.
Anyway.
No, we need to add you in there. There was some debate in there, and of course there was some shade thrown. It's a 1v7 when it comes to those conversations. me against everybody else, but anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with you. I think that the Bengals playoff hopes are dead.
Even if they are, though, he should still play. He is healthy. He wants to play. I am never, ever. If the Chiefs lost this last Sunday and let's say the playoff hopes were done, Patrick Mahomes is still playing football.
Well,
for the Chiefs.
Yes, but also Mahomes isn't dealing with an injury that required surgery and kept him out for the last 2 months.
Well,
I just, you know, if he's 100% healthy, then fine. I have a hard time believing that this man is back to 100% post surgery for an injury, but
that is
I digress. All right. I've been teasing this conversation for the better part of an hour, and I had a brief talk with Nate Taylor about it in the first hour of the program. Should we expect any kind of impact from Damian Pierce this season? Chiefs, of course, the announcement came Sunday after the win against the Colts that he was being signed to the practice squad. He got waived by the Texans back on November 20th. Chiefs pick him up. Nate and I were on very different sides of it. You know, Nate thinks that we could and will see him at some point this season. I am less convinced of that only because that's what history has shown us when it comes to Andy Reid, whether it be rookies or guys that they bring in the middle of the season, those guys are brought along very, very slowly. You know, whether it be this year, for example, with guys like Breshard Smith and Ashton Gelati and Noel Williams, and, you know, and then you look at guys that they've brought in outside of Melvin Ingram, maybe. I don't know of a single player that the Chiefs have acquired that made an impact early in their tenure and consistently. You know, they traded for Josh Uche. That did absolutely nothing. They brought in Mecole Hardman again last year. Nothing doing. DeAndre Hopkins, you know, even like the addition of Terrell Suggs that 1 year. They won a Super Bowl, all well and good. And he made some plays, but it wasn't consistent. He wasn't playing 50% of the snaps even. So what can we expect from Damian Pierce? I'm really very, very much unsure. You know, maybe you get, and somebody mentions it in the text line right off the bat, maybe Damian Pierce is somebody that you can involve in the return game. Maybe. I don't know. Obviously, you know, Nico Remigio is not a real threat back there, but nobody's going to be a threat with how bad that punt return coverage is, the blocking scheme, the amount of penalties that are generated. You want to throw him back there on kickoffs just for him to return it to the 50-yard line and get called back because of a holding penalty at the 24? Sure. I don't see the impact that he can have there either. But there's an injury concern with this Chiefs team. You know, Kareem Hunt is on the back half of his career. He's coming off a game where he just had 30 carries. They don't want to give Elijah Mitchell the football. The only way they want to give Breshard Smith the football is if he's lined up at wide receiver. I'm so glad that the Chiefs waited until the seventh round to take a running back just to line him up at receiver. Isaiah Pacheco hasn't been the same guy since the fibula injury last year. And even this year, before the injury to the knee, he wasn't incredibly effective. What does he look like after yet another injury? I don't know what to think. And frankly, the last thing I want to see as a Chiefs fan, and this is no knock at him personally by any means, the last thing I want to see is Clyde Edwards-Helaire getting 20 touches a game. So
maybe there is an opportunity for Damian Pierce just because of how thin the Chiefs are at running back and the injuries that have mounted at the top of that thin running back group. I just know from watching Andy Reid over all these years, he is not somebody, even if the guy is uber talented, even if he's a guy that talent wise, you can justify putting him on the field with regularity. Andy's not going to put somebody out there that he doesn't totally and completely trust to run his offense. And I don't know how quickly Damian Pierce is going to be able to figure that out.
I do really. It doesn't make any sense that they won't give Breshard Smith more touches in the backfield. And somebody, I think, yesterday texted in, well, it could be because he's not that great in pass coverage. To me, that has nothing to do with him not getting carries. You can still line him up in single back and run a, I don't know, an HB zone play. I don't know, to give you my Madden terminology, a stretch run, an off-tackle run, and let him go do his thing. See if he can hit the hole and take one, heaven forbid, 8 yards, which we don't see too often. Can he get you a 14-yard gain on a second and three? You know what? Let's go ahead and give him the ball and see what happens. I don't think his pass protection has anything to do with it, where Tim, maybe they feel, well, Damian Pierce had it once. I think we can potentially use him. This is, again, why if they would have drafted a running back in the third or fourth round, maybe we're not asking this question. Again, maybe we are, though, because you brought up the injuries. Potentially, we're still asking this question. But here we are. It feels like they're at times. This goes back to, I think, just not Andy Reid being, he obviously isn't bad, but in terms of him being stuck in a way that he does things, does it matter that Breshard Smith's not great in pass protection? That you're not, are you, is that like a punishment? You know, I'm not going to be carries until you can pass protect better. To me, that makes absolutely no sense. Where I think right now, given the injury history of Damian Pierce and the fact that he was bad enough to be cut from Houston with an injured Joe Mixon, who still has not played yet for Houston, what does that tell you?
Yeah.
Why not give Breshard Smith the carries, or at least try him a little bit, especially in a game like this where it feels like it's going to be more of a mixed bag, because Kareem Hunt, you're not giving him the load. Pacheco, we don't know if he's playing, and even if he is, he's not going to carry the ball the bulk of the time. Why not just give Breshard Smith 4 or 5 carries? But don't do it out of the shotgun.
Yeah, do it from under center.
I'm with you. Under center in the single back and just see what he can do, and maybe you have something there. I thought that they would at least maybe have tried Breshard Smith before they went out and got somebody. Maybe the reason they went out and got Damian Pierce because they were worried that another team was going to pick him up. I don't know. But it feels like I wonder if it's really that difficult to make that sort of a call. Let's give him a run out of the single back, under center. Like, is he incapable of doing that? I don't think so.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me how he couldn't at least be able to do that one or two times.
It's so obvious, I think, to anybody who watches the Chiefs play that he's got a different gear, right? He's got a different level of speed, quickness, agility that Pacheco doesn't have and that Kareem has maybe never had and that Kareem Hunt doesn't have anymore, right? This is not Kareem Hunt in 2017, 2018 anymore. He's just not. And you know, the last time I can think of that the Chiefs actually gave Breshard Smith, because they really haven't let him run the football, aside from that Ravens game and the Commanders game and the Raiders game, where they were up multiple scores late and Gardner Minshew's in, they're not going to throw the football. So they're giving him 8 to 10 carries. And yeah, he's only gaining 15 yards because everybody and their mother knows you're running the football here. Nobody thinks you're going to pass the ball up 15 with 2 minutes to go. So, and then the one time it felt like they actually gave him an opportunity in a moment where it wasn't an obvious run situation was against the Broncos down there in the red zone. They gave him that little sweep play to the left side. Kingsley got called for what I thought was an inconsequential holding penalty, but he gained like 12 yards on it. He got outside the tackles. He was able to do something with it. And it worked. It got called back because of a bogus holding penalty, and then it was just over. after that. Right. Somebody in the text line just brought it up. He had 14 carries against the Raiders. Right. All of that, all 14 carries came late in the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, when Mahomes had gotten benched. They were up 31-0, and everybody and their mother knew, you're not going to throw the football. So let's stack the box, make it hard. You know, you're going to shut down the run because that's all you're going to do. You're just trying to eat clock. That's not a justifiable excuse for why Breshad Smith isn't getting touches.
And to me, nor is his size. From the 6'6", so Smith is a little small to be running under center between the tackles. You want to know what size Breshad Smith is? He's 5'10", 196. Other running backs who are the same size as him, James Cook is 5'11", 190. He's actually smaller than Breshad Smith is. Devon Achane, everybody wanted Devon Achane. He is 5'9", 190. Breshad Smith is the same size as those players who are second and fourth in rushing yards this season. So you can't tell me that size is the reason why. You can't give me that reason either. Otherwise, Devon Achane would have been a waste of a player to trade for because Andy wouldn't be using him either. It doesn't make any sense at all. And I don't know if it's the rookie thing or what it is, but it doesn't make any sense, actually. And maybe they just like using him as a gadget guy. But if the gadget guy is getting you more touches in a variety of different ways, then use him more than what you're doing currently because the other guys aren't doing that.
And if there's a time to do it.
I don't get it.
If there's a time to do it, it's right now. With Kareem Hunt fresh off of 30 carries, Isaiah Pacheco still banged up with the injury, although Andy told us earlier, you know, at the presser that he is going to practice. He is practicing today. Uh-huh. The only two guys not are Noah Gray and Trey Smith. I don't know. I keep waiting on it, and
it's almost unbelievable.
If Breshad Smith's not getting touches, I cannot see a world where Damian Pierce is. I just can't. I'm sorry.
I agree.
All right, Drew. Let's get into our random question of the day.
Random question.
All right, random question of the day brought to you by KC Urology Care at KC UC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Logan, for the text line, 913-586-7965. Since I am asking the question, you probably, have you been here for a random question?
I have a couple of times. Yeah.
So we went a little bit deeper in terms of like we went on the piggy bank of a deeper, more, you know, critical thinking sort of question.
Yeah.
Not that Cody doesn't ask those questions, but, again, you know, I think there's some, differences in the way that we do questions. We're going to go deep again.
Okay.
Pause. What part of you, of who you are now would your childhood self be proud of? For those in the back, let me repeat the question. For what part of you, of who you are now, would your childhood self be proud of most?
Oh, that's a good question.
Deep questions on 96.5 The Fan.
Maybe this is a cop-out answer. I'm not entirely sure. My younger self would be incredibly proud of me sitting in this chair in front of this microphone right now.
Hey,
I mean, I was that kid, man, where like we all knew growing up that the episode of sport, like if you just sat down and watched a full episode of SportsCenter, that the next SportsCenter coming up was just a rerun of the SportsCenter you just watched. And I didn't care. Right, I would sit down for 6 hours and I would watch the same episode of SportsCenter 6 times over and over and over again. And that's just the way I was, right? I was that delusional kid growing up in a town of 2,500 people that was like, I'm going to be an anchor on SportsCenter someday. You know, I'm going to be on the radio. I'm going to get paid to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Never thinking in a million years that would actually be a thing. Right. And like, you know, I got into college and I found radio and I loved it. And I worked in Springfield for 5 years and it was fun. But again, I just never thought that like being able to do this for a career was ever a possibility. But I wanted it so bad. So, I mean, I think back to like that 12 and 13 year old kid having conversations with my buddies and they're like, oh, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a doctor. You know, I want to be this and that and the other thing. And I'm like, I want to talk about sports for a living. That's what I want to do. And the fact that I'm sitting here is sick as hell. Yeah. That's what I would say.
A lot of participation from the text line from the 816, my man cave from the 660, my video game collection.
I do. I mean, I got a strong video game collection as well. That's a strong.
Like multiple consoles, or is it multiple consoles?
Yeah, so
still?
I got a PS2. I have an Xbox 360. I have a PS3, but it's got the red light of death.
So you flipped from Xbox to PlayStation before?
Not necessarily. So okay. I had a PS2 growing up. I actually had an original Xbox first. That was the first console I ever had. I used to play my dad's like PS1 back when that was a thing.
Yeah.
But the first console I ever got was the Xbox. And then it went to the PS2 because I just liked the PlayStation better. And then my parents got us a PlayStation 3, played that. I ended up getting an Xbox 360. I babysat a bunch of kids one night for my cousin and her husband.
Perfect.
And they paid me with an Xbox 360.
Ooh.
That's what they gave me. So,
I thought you were saying you use the video games to babysit.
No,
which is
no,
an
I did
easy
not.
Thing, I'm, an easy thing, I'm sure. Hey, dude, let's just play video games.
I babysat five kids all under the age of 6 years old one night, and they gave me an Xbox 360 for my troubles. But so recently, like since I got into college, I had the Xbox 360. I got the PS2. My wife and I have a Wii. I've got the PS4 and I've got the PS5. Them all. And I have a PS3 sitting around somewhere, but it's got the red light of death on it. So it doesn't function, but I'd like to get a PS3 back at some point if I could swing it.
Man, so a couple of people, a lot more people actually participating. I have good morals. That's a good thing. From the 816, I'd be very proud that I'm doing session work as a musician. Shout out to you
for
that.
Oh, that's sick.
That's dope. Someone said how quiet and respectful I am. This person said they were a jerk. All right. Keeping a good sense of humor. I think that's very important.
That I'm alive. Wow. All right. Yeah, that's fair.
Facts.
No arrests and no STDs.
That's good.
There you go. Somebody says, oh, you have a Wii? Catch me on Wii Sports. I want the smoke.
Yo, I also have a Wii as well. Dude, if they had online Wii Sports, it's over. It's on. It's on.
Who I am as a father to two little dudes.
Hey.
That's a good one. I love that. Talk about feeling old, man. My first console was Nintendo. I'd love to get a GameCube. At some point. My grandma had a GameCube at her house when I was growing up, and I loved it.
So the GameCube was the first system that we ever had. Parents, that's what they got us. They could get us was a GameCube, and that thing is... I still have games, because you can play GameCube games on the Wii. They cross over. So some of the old GameCube games, like I still got NBA Street Volume 2 that every now and then I'll pop in, or... like Monkey Ball, they have those that we used to play. Some of the other ones, of course, the classics with GameCube, we have those as well.
I will stand by until the end of time. Of all the Mario Karts that have ever been made,
Mario Kart
on all the different consoles,
classic. The
Mario Kart on the GameCube is the best Mario Kart ever made.
Yeah, the Super Mario Kart.
I stand
by
that.
Let's go.
Absolutely, I stand by that.
Getting a full ride to go to KU. Again, the question was, if you forgot what the question was, what part, or you didn't hear it, what part of who you are now would your childhood self be proud of? I think for me to answer the question, this is a tough one because there's a variety of ways that I can go with it. I would say, so similar to you, that I'm doing this still because there's a lot of people who... I went to college with and was friends with that were all about it, and now they're not doing anything in
same
this
boat,
business.
Man. Same boat.
And it's kind of crazy. Like they might be making a little bit more money or whatever the case is, but like being able to say that you stuck it out, and this is just a life lesson in general. You know, being able to stick out through trials, tribulations, all that stuff is something that I think I'd be definitely proud for as well.
Yeah,
Mario Kart on the Mario Kart Double Dash is like $80 on eBay, dude. It's crazy. So I went and I looked up. So we have regular Wii Sports. Before we get to break here, we have regular Wii Sports, but they got the Wii Sports Resort. Dude, if you go online right now, it's like $50 to get Wii Sports Resort. If you go online right now and you go to get like if you go to get like the NCAA basketball 10, that thing is like $200, like $150 right now. Like it's before the college football game came out, NCAA football 14 with Denard Robinson on the cover. Was like $150.
Yeah, I bought NCAA 14 in like 2019, 2020, like towards the end of my college years for $170 off eBay.
Woo! Man, these games are worth a lot. If you hold like some of the games you probably have that you've held on to, probably worth a healthy penny.
I'm not making the penny anymore. Currently have two copies of NCAA Basketball 10 for the Xbox 360 right now. Two of them.
I don't have an Xbox 360, otherwise I would legitimately ask what you want for one of those copies.
I would legitimately just hand it to you, to be honest.
Oh my gosh, that sounds... Dude, that game was great. To answer a couple more, because y'all are awesome on the text line, from the 816, listen to my gut about my career, went from healthcare to IT, couldn't be happier, good for you. Proud to make it to the age that I am and currently and beyond. Got my chemical engineering degree and have Chiefs season tickets. Hey, there you go.
That's sick. Chiefs season tickets would go unbelievably hard. Yeah, I would say, like, you know, a lot of people talking about, like, you know, the way that they raise their children or things like that. One of the other things I would say I'm proud of is the relationship that I have with my siblings now. Because, like, I've got a younger brother and I've got a younger sister. And I was always sort of like, I was the oldest. So I was always very, like, protective of my younger sister. But my younger brother and I, we butted heads, always did. Right. He's 3 years younger than me, but my brother was always bigger than I was. Like, I was 8 years old and he was five and we were sharing clothes. And like by the time he got into middle school, we were wearing different sizes. Like, I was wearing a small and he's wearing a medium. My brother was always bigger than me, despite the fact that I was older. And I mean, I'll be completely honest. We hated each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it was constant fist fights. You know, it was chipped teeth and cracked heads. And, you know, legitimately, he cracked my head open one time. You know, like, we would get into fist fights. And, yeah. Like, my parents don't have, you know, for the most part, they don't always have great relationships with their siblings. Like, my aunts and uncles aren't, like, always super close with us, the majority of them. And the relationship that I have with my younger brother and my younger sister is the complete opposite of that. You know, like, I talk to my sister pretty regularly. I was just in Warrensburg last weekend visiting her at UCM, and my brother and I, you know, we play video games together pretty much on a nightly basis. My wife hates it, but like,
yeah,
I'm in constant communication with my siblings, and that's just not something that either one of my parents ever experienced. And so I'm pretty proud of that one as well.
No, I can second that one, where you hear people who, like even around this time of year, like, no, I'm not going to see this person in the family because of this reason or that reason, or they have a rougher relationship for whatever reason. Like, I'm very thankful that my siblings and I are very much on the wavelength that we are, I would say. So yeah, too many people who are texting in. Shout out to all of y'all.
I know, it's fun. Somebody in the text line just said, back to sports talk, boys. We'll get to it, I promise you.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We'll do that on the other side of the break here in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll hear from Nate Taylor, who we talked with a little bit earlier on in the show. That's coming up next. Cody and Gold here. Logan Weber filling in for the guys alongside Drew Nixon, 96.5.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.